Hello, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 44 of Romans chapter 1, and we're continuing from verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Okay, we're finishing up verse 21, the last part that said they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. And we were looking at the word darken, and we saw it's in Ephesians 4, the understanding darken. And let me read that again, because it's very descriptive and really a strong condemnation of mankind, of those who live in the world apart from God. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And we read, and I'll start in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Let me read the next verse also. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Terrible indictment, terrible condemnation of man, the creature God created good in his own image, who rebelled against him and went contrary to him. And this is the result. This is what happened. He's ignorant. He's ignorant. He lacks understanding. The area of man where there should be understanding, there should be recognition, acknowledgement, and comprehension of right and good, in contrast to that which is wrong and evil. Man should know the difference, because he was created good, created in God's image, and God is a God who certainly knows the difference between good and evil and right and wrong. But man has lost that ability to properly discern when faced with a situation, with a decision, with a determination he has to make, with a judgment, where the issue comes up and he has to go one way or the other. What is right? What is wrong? What is the good thing to do? What is the evil, the bad thing to do? And if you leave it up to man without help from God, without God's Spirit, again, being upon the hearts of mankind throughout the history of the world, holding back his natural tendency towards ignorance or to a lack of understanding, and in holding that back and suppressing it, holding it down, God enabled man often to make the right decisions. But that was God intervening so that the world would not become as it is today. It would not be this mess you know, 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, or any time in the past, because it had to operate, it had to function to some degree, and we're fast approaching the point where the world will not be able to properly function because man is so desperately wicked. And it's coming again right to the forefront. It's coming where it's visible, it's quickly seen. That's why the world will not go on for 100 years. It'll not go on for 50 years. At this rate, we sometimes wonder, can the world go on another year and any extended length of time? But God does have a timetable, and according to the biblical evidence, we're looking at the year 2033 for when he'll bring things to a conclusion. But again, man of himself is an ignorant, fallen creature. He does not have understanding, and this is why statements like in Daniel 12, you know, once we realize what is in man, they make perfect sense. Daniel 12, verse 9, and he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." None of the wicked will understand because they'll be in darkness. Those in the churches, God makes the church dark. Those in the world, God makes the world dark. And so none of the wicked, none in the darkened condition of being a spiritually dead sinner will understand the things of God. And yet we didn't know just how awful the lack of understanding would get. It's bad enough that the people of the world do not understand right doctrine. They don't understand the true gospel. They don't understand that salvation is of the Lord, and he saves through election, and he does all the work in the matter of salvation. It's by the faith of Christ. It's by the grace of God, and so forth. No, they don't understand that. And it's bad enough they don't understand God's teaching on numerous points that he addresses in his word doctrine across the board. They don't understand all these things, and so lack of understanding doctrine is terrible enough. It's bad enough. But now it's gotten to the point, and it's not as though things have gotten out of control. No, it's all by God's action. God is the one who is not only allowing it, but he is punishing the world through these things. It's gotten to the point where mankind does not understand basic morality. Basic, we would say instinctive, natural morality. But this is really a strong testimony to the truth of the Word of God, as we've read these scriptures in time past, that told us of the inward spiritual condition of the sinner, of mankind, and God never held back. He always described man in the most unflattering terms, and it was almost as though he was speaking of some kind of monster, and then people in past generations would look around and say, well, yes, there are a few monsters out there, you know, really evil people like Hitler and this other wicked person over there. But for the most part, people are basically good. They could say that only because God's Holy Spirit was suppressing the true ugly nature of man, holding it down so that people could act and behave and have conduct that was basically good, some basic morality. But, you know, the Bible has always said this of mankind, as God says in verse 19, of Matthew 15, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Or God has said in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, as he determined to bring the judgment of the flood, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And yet, if we could have been living at that time and seen the people living in the days of Moses, we would have thought, oh, this is a quaint country village. Aren't these people nice? And God looks upon them because he does not look on the outward appearance. He's not fooled by the outward appearance of man. He looks on the heart, and God sees only evil continually. Only evil continually. He saw a bunch of Hitlers, to put it in the language of the world. He saw a bunch of evil dictators and rulers that have done evil to their people. Those are the only ones the world thinks are really evil. Well, God looks at man, woman, and child, and he sees evil continually coming forth from their heart. And how bad is it? Well, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 is probably one of the most descriptive verses in the Bible describing the human being, the sons of Adam that have fallen into sin. You can't bring a clean out of an unclean. And our parents were unclean, and they brought forth unclean children. Just like Mr. Camping used to say, a snake will give birth to snakes. And we are, the Bible says, like serpents, like vipers. And so in Revelation 17, God says the heart, and he's speaking of man's heart, man's soul. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. You know, it's bad enough that God says the heart is deceitful above all. There's a lot of things we could compare that to. You mean it's more deceitful than, this awful thing and that terrible thing? And yes, would be the answer. It's deceitful above all things. And if that's not bad enough, he says it's wicked. But not just wicked. Not just wicked. You know, to have a heart deceitful above all and wicked would be, you're pretty bad. You're pretty bad. But it's not just wicked. It's desperately wicked. And you know, you have to love the Word of God. You have to love the language of the King James Bible, because it doesn't mess around. God says it like it is. And the reason the King James Bible is so excellent is because, for the most part, often they allow God to say it like it is. They would translate it as God wrote it. And this is the assessment. This is the opinion of the one who searches the hearts and minds. And he knows the deep things of man. And this is his summation. Man's heart is desperately wicked. And again, throughout most of history, man who was being acted upon by the Spirit of God, as we read, and I've made reference to this, but it would be good to read in 2 Thessalonians 2, where we read in verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth. And the word letteth is the same word that's translated as withholdeth in verse 6. And it has to do with holding down or holding back, suppressing. And the personal pronoun he is speaking of the Holy Spirit. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That is, the Holy Spirit is performing this work. And this is the mystery of iniquity. And it's a mystery because when we read these other things in the Bible, when we read that the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, that his heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked, or when we read the language of Romans chapter 3, there's none good, no, not one, none righteous, and so forth, and a lot of other language could be found in the Bible to go along with this terrible assessment of the nature of fallen man. It's a mystery that he was acting basically decently. Again, yes, there would be outbreaks, concentration camps, and tortures, especially during war. They would show forth the truth of the Word of God, that this was actually the deep down condition of mankind. And I think that's one of the reasons why God allowed it. He didn't want mankind to have too rosy a picture of himself. But the mystery of iniquity was, well, if these things are true, why, you know, are there law-abiding citizens? And why are there citizens get together who form government and government that can operate according to moral decency and so forth? Because at that time, the Holy Spirit was withholding. He was holding back the ugliness of man until he be taken out of the way. And now we're living at the time of the end. God's lifting his hand and take a look. Look around. Get a genuine glimpse now into what has resided in the heart of man all along. No understanding, no real concern or care for his neighbor, his brother, very selfish, no sense of respect or honor or actual decency, no ability to recognize good as versus evil, no understanding in him to know how to live a good life and so forth. It's just not in him. He is a dark creature. He is a creature that has fallen from the position of good, and he is wicked, not just wicked, but desperately wicked. And now we're seeing it. We're again getting a glimpse. We're getting, well, more than a glimpse. We're getting a good look at the darkness that lies within sinners. And it's now not being held back to that degree that it was. And especially since we've entered into the day of judgment, because immediately after the tribulation, the sun was darkened. God darkened the light of the gospel, that is the light of the word of God, but also it seems to relate to the darkening of the law written upon the heart of man. As Romans chapter 2 speaks of God writing his law on man's heart, and so that as well seems to be involved in this, and man is again stumbling around in blindness and ignorance, and it's just a horrible, terrible thing that we're witnessing, and that's why it's part of the wrath of God. In the Old Testament, the word sin is also translated as punished. You can read that in Genesis chapter 4, when Cain says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, he's saying my sin is greater than I can bear. But he's clearly referring to punishment. And likewise, when God has lifted his hand of restraint and iniquity is abounding across the face of the earth, it is punishing all people in one way or another when we're not living according to the law of God, because the law of God is that which brings blessing and happiness. To the degree we live in line with that law will be the degree we experience blessing and happiness. Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 1 and go to verse 22, which says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing themselves. The word professing is found in Revelation 2, verse 2, where we read, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. The word here translated which say. They profess they are apostles, but they are not, and has found them liars. And this would be a good verse to show why it's fitting to speak of believers and true believers. I try not to make that much reference to true believers any longer, because even that has been distorted in some degree, as there's numbers of Family Radio listeners who have gone backward who would self-identify as true believers. But here, they say they're apostles, but the reality is they're not apostles. Like, we have a Christian church of numbers go up to about 2 billion professed Christians. That is, people who say they are Christians, but they are not Christians in the real sense of the word, because to be a Christian, God has to make you one. You have to be born into the family of God, into the family of Christ, and then take his name. But overwhelmingly, exceedingly overwhelmingly, the vast majority of people who say they're Christian are not. They're professed Christians. They say it, but it's not true. Likewise, people of the world. People of the world. And first of all, this would have an application to those in the church, because when you say you're a Christian, you're also saying you're wise, as God likens those that he saved, Christians, to the wise in the Bible, and those he has not saved, he likens the fools. So this does have application to that. Also, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But given the context of idol making, and remember earlier, they do not want to admit that God is creator. They hold the truth. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness, that it appears to be just man in general is in view, the wicked of the earth, the secularist, the atheist, the people of the world who have developed science, a science where they have done away with God, with the idea of origins that have nothing to do with a creator God, and then evolution with evolutionary theory concerning how there's such a vast array of species and creatures and everything in the world. They think they're very wise, and that's obvious if you ever listen to them. They really think they're wise. They got it all down, and they speak with authority and confidence. So many billions of years ago, this is what happened. And then there was evolution, and man is, currently atop the evolutionary ladder, but soon some other creature will develop and surpass us. They get into all these things, and they lay out their wisdom and profess they are wise. They know it all. They have the knowledge. And then you look around the world and you look at every nation, and every nation has these people within it, but these people don't seem to be able to help their own nations concerning wisdom. They don't seem to be able to help the people, the world in general, to live as wise human beings. And we see the foolishness of man on display on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, where we can only conclude, based on the evidence that would be outside the Bible, as we look around the world, it's a world of fools. And it's not a world of wise people at all. It's not a world of people who know what they're doing, who have everything figured out. They often, actually, almost always, don't know what they're doing, and they're often going down the wrong road, saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, and it's a world of mess. It's a world of chaotic mess because man wants to do it all by himself. He doesn't want to consult with God. He doesn't want the advice or wisdom of God in any way. Oh no, that's outdated. He's advanced. He's progressed to the point of being the one who really knows. And if anything was more ridiculous, I don't know what it is. And if anything was further from the truth, I don't know what it is. They profess, they say constantly how wise they are, and yet, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And, you know, the word fools is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll begin in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And the word made foolish is same as became fools in our verse. There's just no truth to their idea that they are wise. They can only actually think they're wise because of the darkness within them, of the ignorance of their mind.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.